Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Let Go, Let God Ministries with Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Wayne Anders. You will be blessed with the anointed preaching of these humble servants of God who have a word from the Lord for you today. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning to everyone across this great universe under the sound of my voice. My name is Reverend Sherry Thompson. It's a beautiful day in North Carolina. It's no mistake that you've tuned in. Today is your divine appointment. The message today will take you into a much deeper level of intimacy with God. Now, I invite you to take a life-changing journey. So buckle up your seatbelts. And don't you dare touch that dial. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I stand before you, Lord. We need you this day, God. Thank you for this beautiful message that you have prepared for your people, God. Lord, we are in a pandemic, a crisis all over this world. But God, you know where we are and where we stand. God, I pray for those who have lost ones that they have lost, loved ones that they have lost. God, I pray that you send someone to wrap their arms around them, to uplift them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, because we were made to serve one another. We were made to love one another. Father, I pray that we extend our hand to people. We extend our hand to our co-workers, to our family members, to people all across this nation, all across this universe, that we are there for them, that we can speak an encouraging word, that we can speak love to them, we can bring a dish of food to them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the honor for everything you're going to do. I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that you send someone to minister to those people. If they don't know you as personal Savior, I know that you give every person an opportunity because you go after the one out of the 99. Lord, we just thank you, God, for our country, for our nation, for this world. And we ask you, God, to help the scientists find something that will work against this coronavirus and stop this pandemic in the name of Jesus. God, you have power and authority, and you tell your children to come together and pray, which puts tens of thousands of angels together in flight on behalf of any circumstance. God, I thank you for answers that are coming in the days ahead of us that will stop this crisis. And, Father, I know that there is a great outpouring through this, Father. For in the last days, Lord, you said that you would pour your spirit out upon this earth, Father, and that you would be, your eyes would go from side to side, searching for your children and giving them strength and upholding them and saving them and healing them in the holy name of Jesus and giving them direction and wisdom and common sense in these times of crisis, Father. Lord, I ask you in the holy name of Jesus to touch our president and his family and our vice president and the Congress, God, all of those that are making these perilous decisions, Father. God, use them for your glory, for your honor, in the holy, precious name of Jesus. Fill their mouths with words of wisdom and action behind those words of wisdom, Lord. Uphold them, keep them safely. Touch all their leaders all across this universe, Father, whether it is locally here in North Carolina, in all the states across America, or all across this great universe. Father, you have placed them in office. Use them for your glory, God. Give them wisdom and knowledge and direction. Lord, we just thank you for the lost this morning that will be saved, for those that are sick in mind, body, and spirit, that you paid the price over 2,000 years ago that you took every stripe on your back, that they're healed and that they're whole. Father, hear our prayers this morning and honor them, Lord, with your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Give us direction. Give us strength. Give us peace this morning, God. Lord, I ask you to touch and keep safe our first responders, our policemen, our firefighters, our EMS, our people are in the hospitals, our doctors, our nurses, and all the medical staff. Lord, protect them. Put a shield around them. God, they are putting their lives out there to save our loved ones, Father. Use them for your glory, but put a hedge of protection around them. Send your warring, protecting angels to encamp them in the name of Jesus. God, we give you the glory for everything you're going to do this morning, for the power of prayer, for a great vision, for the testimony of many that will come. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. And everybody out there says, amen. I'm so glad that you've tuned in to this morning. The message title is Don't Quit. There is strength. There is strong faith in confusing times. Don't give up. When you feel like you're about to throw that towel in, know that God's right there standing beside you. You're on the brink of a miracle. So my text is coming from Habakkuk chapter 3 this morning. Most of us recognize the name of Ann Graham Lott. She's the daughter of Billy Graham and Ruth Graham. Besides being a well-known author and speaker, she is also a keen observer of contemporary events. Back in the early days of July 2014, she called on America, called to all Christians to spend days in fervent prayer for our nation. And to continue doing that, this is the part of what she wrote in her call to prayer. She said one of the things that he impressed on her was that we are living in the last days, the end of human history as we know it. And the light of this that has given me some practical assignments. Now, one was to stay in continual prayer. He gave me the message that I was to deliver, which was found from Joel, one day of the Lord is at hand. It was a message warning that judgment is coming. Now, for our country, for this world, for our pastors and their families, and prayer for Israel, we are to pray fervently every day. Now, then she added these words, please be assured there is no other agenda than to initiative. This is not about promoting anything or anyone. This is all about calling God's people together to pray. Now, before it's too late and judgment falls on our nation, look around, my precious friends. What's happening? People are full of fear and anxiety because what is coming on the face of this earth? But look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And we can all agree that America and this universe is in trouble. Evil is running rampant in our world. Jesus must be glorified in our lives. We desperately need the Holy Spirit to fall on us. America and this universe is in a great time of crisis. One phrase stood out to me before it's too late. We must pray for God's mercy while we can. There is a time when judgment will come. We have many phrases for this. Sometimes we say when the chickens come home, or when they roost, or the skeletons come out of the closet, and when it's time to pay the piper. Sooner or later, we all face the consequences of our choices that we have made in life. This is true for nations and for individuals. Now, you cannot mock God forever. You cannot ignore him or pretend that he isn't there. You cannot do as you please without inviting judgment from on high. I believe that Anne Graham Lotz is right. We need God to do something before it's too late. That sounds a lot like Habakkuk. God had told him clearly, judgment is coming. Now, at the last understanding of this message, when we come to Habakkuk 3, we turn a corner in our study. The whole tone of this book changes. Now, we move from confusion to clarity and from fear to faith. Here is the key observation on which this whole book turns. Nothing has changed on the outside. Habakkuk has changed on the inside. Now we need a lot of bad, we find a lot of bad news in Habakkuk 1 and 2. But hold on, my friends. There's good news coming. But Habakkuk 3 is full of good news. The book ends on a note of hope and praise. How did the prophet move from his initial worry and fear to a place of confidence, joy, and praise? Now, how did he get there when nothing around him has changed? The people are still mocking God, violence still fills the streets, and the Babylonians are still coming to Jerusalem. Outwardly, everything is just a mess. Up as it was in the beginning. Now, yet by Habakkuk, the man has changed on the inside. How did that happen, my friends? This chapter gives us the answers. The outline is very simple. Habakkuk 3 contains three things. Number one, a prayer. Number two, a vision. And number three, a testimony. Let's take them one at a time and see what we can learn from the prophet's spiritual journey. Let's talk about prayer. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, in the face of impending calamity, the prophet prays for a full manifestation of God's power and for mercy in the midst of judgment. If he is saying, Lord, I know bad times are coming. I accept that. I'm not fighting against your plan. But, O Lord, if hard times must come, don't let the Babylonians wipe us out. Remember mercy or we will perish. That's a perfectly biblical prayer, isn't it? It's honest, it is desperate, and it's a kind of prayer that God will answer. Now notice that he asked God to do again in this day what he has done in the past. Twice he says, do it now, Lord, in our day, in our time. This ought to be the prayer of every thoughtful Christian at the critical moment of history. Consider the perilous situation in the Middle East. As ISIS continues to reign or terror, no one seems to know how to stop these brutal thugs who kill in the name of Islam. A while back, they beheaded a second American journalist. They are not shy about announcing their plans to move on Europe and in the United States. We truly live in dangerous times, my friends. Experts tell us that we are in more danger than before 9/11. We better wake up, and we better pay attention. Look all around you. The Bible, my friends, is unfolding right before your eyes. We're not, perilous times are not coming. We're in perilous times. Now, could we be on the brink of a great revival? The Bible tells us in the last days before the return of Christ, before his bride, that we will have a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we will have a great revival. Everywhere I go, I hear Christians asking what they can do. Now, some people say that we are on the brink of a great revival. Well, I believe that. Perhaps that's true. It is true. I certainly hope so, but I'm not sure about the timing. Now, when I read about the first Greek great awakening, real, and it's here. What are we going to do? Do we have a way out? Absolutely. God always makes a way of escape. Are such things possible in our day? It's easy to give in to doubt when you consider the gravity of the world situation. God can allow fire to come down from the heaven above. But that may actually be a good sign, because revivals usually come in desperate times. Now, you generally don't receive a miracle until you desperately need one, right? It seems that God often will not move in power until things have fallen into dire straits. It's true, my friend, that I would say we are in a good place for a mighty move of God. I understand that revival is a sovereign work of God. Now, he can move from heaven anytime he wants. Fire comes down from above. It is not worked up from below. But if revival fire must come down from heaven, we can at least put the kindle in place, right? We can be ready. We can be prepared. God has gone before us. He has not left us. And he has given us wisdom. He has given us direction. We just need to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit. At the end of my ruminations on the revival, I come back to an old Chinese prayer that goes like this. O Lord, change the world. Begin, I pray thee, with me. Or in the words of the old spiritual. It's me. It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. You remember that old hymn? Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Are you standing in the need of prayer this morning? God hears your cries, my friend. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. There is strength in the midst of a crisis. That may be this morning. You may be crying out to God, asking him for your help in this testing time. It's these times that you find out where your relationship really stands, who you are, or if you're just religious. My greatest challenge is the man in the mirror. That's where revival must begin. My question for you this morning, are you looking in the mirror? Do you see who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? Do you have a plan? Well, my friends, God has a great plan. And all you have to do is reach out and ask him. He's waiting with open arms. And let's talk about the word vision. After Habakkuk's prayer, he had a vision of God. Now, theologians call this a theophany. That's a fancy term for an appearance of God on this earth. Now, in this case, God revealed himself to Habakkuk in something like a dream or a vision. The prophet recorded his experiences in Habakkuk 3:3-15. Now, these verses are highly poetic, which is what you would expect when a man has a vision of God. But the point is very clear. Knowing that his nation faces imminent judgment, Habakkuk prays, Lord, do something. We should be crying out to God right now. Lord, do something. Don't just be sitting there like a man in a log. Cry out with a loud cry to God and say, Father, do something about this coronavirus epidemic. Lord, where are you? He is right there waiting for you to ask him to assist you, to help you, to guide you, to direct you. Now, this vision is God's answer. It's as if God says, Habakkuk, you've forgotten who I am. You're talking as if I can't hear you, as if I don't have any power. Let me show you who I am, because if you understand, Habakkuk, so true. God says in his word, he gives his children sweet sleep. We don't have to panic. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We can say, Father, I risk all of this into your hands. Give me sweet sleep tonight. And wake me up fresh and anew in the morning. And God is faithful to do so, my friends. In these verses of Habakkuk, God's activity in the past. Now, he especially focuses on the Exodus, the time in the wilderness, and the crossing of the Jordan River. That was a period in which God repeatedly worked spectacular miracles. By recounting all of this, God is saying, have you forgotten what I did for you in the past? If God is saying that to you this morning, have you forgotten what I did for you at the cross? Then quickly say no. If you remember, say, God, I hear you. I hear you, and I stand with you. And if you don't know, then say, God, forgive me. Help me. Deliver me. Set me free. Give me peace. God is right there. He's right there, and he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. He is closer to you than a brother, my friend. Sometimes we read the Bible and secretly wonder if God can do it again in the 21st century. Here is the answer, my friend. He's God. Did you hear what I said? He is God. He can intervene anytime he wants. We can get a flavor of the theophany in the verses of Habakkuk 3:13-15, which focuses on the defeat of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. Now it says, you came out of delivery to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader in the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating and thou about to devour the wretched who were in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. Now, this is where I want you to listen very closely. And listen intently with your hearts. Look at the verbs. You came out. You crushed. You stripped. You pierced. You trampled. This is what God did. He gets all the credit. We can see two things very clearly here. This is what we as saints should be saying. We crushed the enemy. We stripped the enemy. We pierced the enemy. We trampled the enemy in the holy name of Jesus. The utter defeat of who opposes God. Let me tell you, the divine determination to do whatever it takes to deliver God's people. What is this here? Because many people have not found a God big enough for modern problems. If you had a bigger God, you wouldn't worry as much. We need a big God. My precious friends, let me remind you, we have a big God. He knows exactly who we are and where we stand and what is going on in this world. You might be saying if you had a bigger God, you would be stronger in the moment of crisis, in this coronavirus pandemic. If you had a bigger God, you would be less tempted to compromise. And here is the third word. The third word from the prophet's spiritual journey, testimony. Now we come to the end of the book. First there is acceptance. I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us, found in Habakkuk 3:16. This is Habakkuk's way of saying, I get it. Lord, the Babylonians will attack us, and then you will judge them. I will wait for that day to come. As it turns out, Habakkuk most likely didn't live long enough because Babylon would not fall for almost 70 years. It doesn't matter. Habakkuk's words means message received. It's the Spirit of God speaking to you saying, do you hear me? Did you get my message? Here I am. I'm right here. You're my beloved. Listen. Focus. I will never leave you. Please get that this morning. God will never leave you. Message received. He hears your cries. He hears your prayers. Wait upon the Lord. He takes the good and the bad, and he knows how to work it all together. We just have to trust him. And secondly, there is commitment found in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. It shows us what faith looks like when life tumbles all around us. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. Is somebody rejoicing this morning? Because you know God's on your side. The word rejoice literally means to jump for joy. We might even say it means to dance for joy. But how is this possible in this world crisis? Habakkuk has described a total economic meltdown. Ancient Israel was an agricultural society. Now, if you ran out of figs, olives, grapes, grain, sheep, and cattle, you were in big trouble. This isn't just a random list. He's saying no matter the crisis, we must not fear. We must not panic. We must not lean to our own understanding, but we must trust in our Heavenly Father. Now, this is a portfolio, my friend. What do you do when you are wiped out? Listen intently with your heart, my friend. You're precious. You are His beloved. What if your investments disappear? Recently, the stock market hit an all-time high, and then it hit an all-time low. Let me pose this question this way. What would you do if tomorrow the stock market imploded? What is it totally tanked and went from millions all the way to zero? What would you do then? Your investments are gone. Your pension destroyed. Your 401k is wiped out. What then, my friend? How do you face that? What if you lose your job during this pandemic? What if your safety net fails? What if you run out of food? What if? What if you can't pay your bills? Or what if your children end up in jail? What if your loved ones never come to Christ? What if, my friends, the doctor says it's terminal? And what if your spouse has a heart attack and you're left alone? What if America falls to a foreign power? What if you lose your job because you are a Christian? What if you end up in jail for your faith? What then, my friends? Well, I found this article, and it was a beautiful article, and I could relate to this article, which I'm going to tell you about. But the article was written by Kay Warren. Kay Warren is the wife of Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church in Southern California, and the author of a mega bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick and Kay were put in the spotlight in a very sad way 6 years ago when their 27-year-old son Matthew committed suicide after struggling for years with a mental illness. And in July of 2016, Kay made some personal reflections on what would have been Matthew's 29th birthday. Here is part of what she wrote. Listen to this. This is beautiful from a mother's heart. On July 18th, 1985, I gave birth to our beautiful gift of God, Matthew David Warren. Holding him in my arms that morning, I had no idea how dark the journey would get for him and for those who love him. All I knew that bright morning was that I was madly in love with him and could see nothing ahead but a mother's dreams of a good life for her son. Isn't that every mother's dream? I remember Easter 1985. I was sick in bed. This is when her baby was born. Unable to go to church, Rick took the kids to church, and I stayed by my side for a few hours. The TV remote by my side was my only companion. Somehow, I dropped the remote and couldn't retrieve it. So there I was, alone, on one of the most joyous holidays, Easter, with not even a TV preacher to keep me company. Full of anxiety and fear for myself and my unborn child, I painfully reached for my Bible, and it fell open to Habakkuk 3:17-19. It says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Now, this was a word from the Lord to me, and I determined that even if my worst nightmares came true, if my baby died or I never walked again, that I would trust in my God, my Savior, and I would rejoice in the sovereign Lord. Now, Matthew David Warren was born, and everything seemed fine, but his first birthday, we begin to wonder, and by his second birthday, we knew he wasn't like his older sister and brother. When he took his life in the year of 2014, after battling and fighting so hard for decades, a friend sent me Habakkuk 3:17-19. Now, Kay is saying a friend sent her this beautiful card of sympathy. She had no idea this passage was, the lady who sent the card had no idea that this passage, Habakkuk 3:17-19, was incredibly significant to her. But it was a fighting bookend to her son's life, because I had feared for years that he would take his own life. It became his greatest pursuit in my deepest anguish, is what Kay said. And I had to come to the point in which I said, as I had 27 years before, even if my worst nightmare comes true, and he takes his life, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will keep my focus on him. I will not stand and look in the circumstances. I will rejoice joyfully in my God, my Savior. So today was his 29th birthday. Through weeping, Kay, Rick Warren's wife, shouted it to the watching universe. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in my God and Savior. My heart remains wounded and battered. My faith is steady. There is and will be a Stephen Curtis Chapman that says a glorious unfolding of all that God has in store for me and my family. Is God saying to you this morning, there will be a glorious unfolding of all that God has for you and your family? You can stand on that, and you can trust God, and you can certainly take it to the bank. God is faithful to his promises of rebuilding and restoring the ruins, and I am confident that I will yet be a witness to many, many lives healed and hope restored, all because my beloved gift that God gave me, my beautiful son, Matthew David Warren. I miss you, darling boy, is what she said, but it will just be for a little while. What a beautiful letter written from a mother's heart. If you were in Kay's shoes, could you say, yes, Lord, when the dearest thing in life was taken from you? Through this world crisis, so many are losing their loved ones through COVID-19. Such as a dark, dark time it is. But as Christians, we have hope and peace and joy. No matter the storm, this too will pass. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not the pandemic. I can relate to Kay's story of losing her son. I, too, in 2014, forgive me if I cross, lost my son on April the 18th, which was Good Friday. I'll never forget it. And God has forever put etched it in my mind for a purpose, so that I could be an overcomer and be strong. Here's when I lost my son, Joshua. God said to me that night, when everything was still and everything was quiet and everyone had left but a few people, and I got alone and got in my closet, and I asked God where he was. But he said, "Sherry, it's a good fighting." And I said, "Lord, I know it's a good fighting." And he said, "But Sherry, it is a good fighting." And all of a sudden, it turned on inside of me like an illumination, a light. It is a good fighting, Sherry. I was with Joshua right there, receiving him. He is with me, and he is fine. My father spoke that to my heart, and I knew right then that nothing anyone could ever say would ever make me straight. But it was I would always focus on God, no matter what the circumstances is. But I felt this mother's prayer when she was praying and when she wrote this beautiful article. I, too, understand where her heart came from. But God gave me the inner strength to overcome all of that, as he gives it to me on a daily basis. And that's why I'm standing here this morning for you, so that you can know that it is possible through no matter what circumstances, through no matter what pandemic comes your way, that you can have the strength to depend on God and stand almighty on God. When the devil comes in like a flood, God will always raise a standard, my friend. He will always raise a standard. But you know, I can tell you, and I'm trying to be so transparent before you, I've been there. I've done it. I know the hurts of what she felt. And I'm sure that many of you listening out there have experienced this and are experiencing today when you're losing your loved ones. But God is not, he's right there. He's never left you. He has his arms around you, and he will cradle you, and he will love you, and he will walk you, and he will give you peace that passeth all understanding. No human mind could ever understand the love of God, but a Christian knows it because they've experienced it. I invite you today to experience God's love. You can, and he's right there waiting. So often we make the mistake, faith. And our feelings. Faith isn't about my feelings, much less about my circumstances. Faith chooses to believe when it would be easier to stop believing. Habakkuk said, "I will wait patiently and I will rejoice." He found new strength in the midst of his desolation. He found strength in the prayer closet. Yes, my friends, you are his precious beloved. Faith chooses to believe. The last verse of Habakkuk is often overlooked. It's coming from Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on heights. The phrase "my feet" speaks of our journey through life. If you have ever traveled to the Holy Land, then you probably saw deer scrambling everywhere on the barn hills near the west side of the Dead Sea. The deer are sure-footed where the rest of us would slip and slide and eventually fall. If you know the Lord, he will give you stability in the slippery moments of life. He will give you grace to stand when otherwise you would fall apart. It reminds me of Ephesians 6:13, which says that when you put on the armor of God and having all done, we stand safe, secure when the battle is over. So through this corona pandemic, you can be secure. You can be safe You can have a sound mind. So remember, God has given you the power of great authority to stand and stand strong, my friend. In other words, you can stand when others fall around you. That's where the book ends, and that's where we will end our journey. Let me repeat once again the single most important observation from Habakkuk. As the book ends, nothing has changed on the outside. The people of Judea have still forgotten God. Silence still reigns in Jerusalem. The wicked still oppress the righteous, and the Babylonians are still God's appointed instrument for judgment. Hard times are coming, and there is nothing anyone can do, but we can stand strong in our faith and be mighty, mighty prayer warriors for our family, for our friends, for our coworkers, and for this world. You can make a difference. You can be the light to a dying and lost world. Your decisions will tell the future. You can reach out to others in this time of testing. Nothing has changed except this. Habakkuk has changed on the inside. We all come from different situations. Some are happy and some are sad. Some are healthy and some are sick. Some are excited about the future, and some face dark clouds of uncertainty. But if we know the Lord, if God is our Savior, we can still have feet to tread on the heights in the worst moments of life. We can stand when others fall around us. This coronavirus pandemic doesn't have rule by fear and anxiety. Remember, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are made more than conquerors. Though Satan has come in like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, we can raise a mighty high standard up against him and stand with great authority in Jesus' precious holy name. When V. Raymond Edmond was president of the Wheaton College, he used to tell his students, it's always too soon to quit. That's a good motto for us as we wrap up the study of Habakkuk. I told you in the first message that Habakkuk is strong faith for confusing times. Everyone listening and hearing my words is in one of three places. My precious friends, it's always too soon to quit. You're coming out of dark, confusing times, and our world is in a crisis. Or maybe you're about to go into confusing times, and you just don't know that yet. Remember, you're not alone. He is with you. You're not fighting this battle alone. There are roaring, protecting angels that are encamping you, my friend. Pray like you've never prayed before. Love like you've never loved before. And stand. So many will be drawn to God through the dark days ahead of us. Can you be the light in a dying and dark world? You absolutely can. And I am compelling you today to please be that light. Stand strong. Give an encouraging word. So take this message and put it in your back pocket. If you don't need it today, you'll need it tomorrow, or maybe you'll need it the day after. God's word is where we find hope, peace, and that passes all understanding. Now, I'll leave you with a final thought. You'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when Jesus is all you have, then will you discover that Jesus is truly all you need. That's the real message of this little book called Habakkuk. We can get through this coronavirus pandemic, through this process, and point people to a God that will save them and love them and give them strength and peace and comfort through this dark times and times of testing. Use wisdom and do the things that you know to do to keep safe and to keep healthy. No matter what comes your way, God always makes a way of escape, my friends. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God has given you an opportunity to be saved. So please pray this sinner's prayer with me and repeat this prayer after me today. I invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've been playing church, or you want to make things right, or you're just a carnal Christian, God is extending an invitation to you. Yes, you today. Pray the prayer with me if you want to be saved. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you humbly, knowing that I am a sinner, lost, undone, without a Savior. I repent of my sins before you today. Wash me and cleanse me as white as snow. Set my feet on solid ground. Open the path for my destiny that I will complete. God, I thank you for hearing this prayer. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for this message that has spoken to my heart. I thank you, God, for who you are and for what you're doing. I thank you that there are answers coming in the holy name of Jesus. God, we give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation today. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen and amen. And if you said that sinner's prayer this morning with me, I welcome you to the family of God. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are no longer that old man. The old man is dead, and you are a new creation. And the angels in heaven are having a party on your behalf because a sinner has come home. God bless you. Thank you for accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember, he loves you so much, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And you can have victory in this corona pandemic. God has made a way of escape. God bless you, my friends, until we meet again.